time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And it is a Saturday morning. Larry is at the other microphone, ready to take your phone calls on this hot morning. But we've talked about this before, Larry. First of all, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, yeah. Charles.
All right. The hot temperatures we're talking about, we had the meteorologists on the news talking about the heat conditions and plant transpiration contributing to the humidity that we feel. Mm-hmm. Is it the same for the plants? Do they swelter in the heat as much as the gardeners do?
They thrive in the heat. Yeah. No, actually, the plants are designed to tolerate it very well. Yeah. Periods of heat and cold. They just don't like wet feet. But anyway, yeah, most plants can take it without any problems.
Oh, that's great.
And a lot of times, if they need more water, they tell you.
Yeah.
They wilt. There's water plays a big part in a plant's structure and lifestyle and within the plant cells itself, actually. And that's a term that we learned back in college called turgidity.
Yes.
And lack of that causes wilting, if you will. And it's the pressure of the water inside there. So that's basically all wilting is just a lack of water pressure in the plant. And it's a good survival tactic, too, because the leaves have somewhat less surface area when that happens, too, mm-hmm. and they can conserve what water they have in there without drying up. So the plants have been around for millions of years. They've adapted these strategies to survive. So if you have a little bit of wilt in the afternoon on your plants as a result of the heat, it's not necessarily the plant being too dry. It's just that it cannot pull up enough water mm-hmm. in order to keep its cells tight like that. So, for instance, my elephant ears in the back, they droop every afternoon. And in the morning, they're back up. Yep. And I need to take a time lapse of that and watch them go up and down and up and down. It's not unusual for that to happen.
But it's not the same. Well, it's the same process, but it doesn't mean the same thing when some of our indicator plants say that they need water then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just make sure when you do water your plants that you do so fairly heavily and infrequently. And I like to say water the plants in the morning. And the primary reason why I say that, let me get it out, hello, live radio, don't you love it?
It is.
The primary reason why I say that is the water in the hose typically is cool in the morning, in the afternoon. And we've had people bring plants to the nursery the same day, or not the same day, yeah, actually the same day after mm-hmm. they bought them, because they put it in the ground and it immediately died.
You scalded it.
You emptied the steam iron on it. I mean, come on. So if you do water during the day, make sure the water cools in the hose. And I like to take the hose and just let it spray out over the yard. By the time it hits the ground, the heat in the water will be lost and it'll be cool enough where it won't damage the plant. And then after it gets cool, you can go ahead and water your plants with it. So
temperatures around the area this morning, somewhere around the lower 80s, depending on where the listeners happen to be listening to us this morning.
82, it's a little sticky out there.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, looking at the future, you're going to do better with the weather.
Well, we do have a forecast for an increased chance of rain Sunday night, and early part of Monday, maybe even Tuesday with a 20%, but I would say the best chance for rain probably Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And that was Travis Meyer, meteorologist, talking to us this morning, saying maybe a chance for some severe weather Sunday night, but he thought wind would be the significant hazard. So, mm-hmm. But we could get some rainfall, maybe some heavy rainfall Sunday night.
Just so long as you don't get any hail or snow or anything like that, that'll be fine.
Snow, not particularly likely.
But anyway, so that's going to be some relief for us. You notice the big trees are just thriving right now.
They're
doing great. All that rain we had this spring is deep down in the ground. Mm-hmm. We've dug some holes in the ground and we've taken note of the moisture levels, and they're pretty good right now. I also have seen some damage from plants as a result of all the rain too, especially the new plants. Mm-hmm. Root rot is a problem. And some plants like the Japanese maples and the dogwoods and just some other various and sundry plants are a bit more susceptible to the root rot fungus. And that's not unusual for that to happen and for the symptoms to show up a month after a wet period has ended.
So it makes it a little bit more vague on what killed the plant.
Yeah, and the best thing you can do is just dig it up and examine the root system. And that'll probably tell you right away what caused it to die. And there's been some loss due to the wetness, but not a whole lot. Just probably on a percentage basis, maybe on our scale, about 1%. It's not that much. So plants can tolerate the wet period like that, but the new plants that are in the ground with all the rip balls right over there, if they can't really breathe, then that can cause some problems with newly planted plants.
Okay.
So.
So what?
And that's showing up now.
Latter half of July, first part of August, as we look at a couple weeks ahead here, what should we be doing in the garden besides just enjoying what's growing out there for us?
Number one, before you go outside, drink a bunch of water. Make sure you're very well hydrated. Electrolytes help too. Things like Gatorade, and I don't know if they make the sugar-free Gatorade anymore, but I have an objection to drinking sugar when it's hot. And sometimes
that.
That's just not good for you. And there's some powdered ones that are, I use a Propel. It's a, you just open it up and drop it in a water bottle and you get electrolytes and all that. It keeps me going pretty good in the heat. So, but only, not all the time. You just do that once in a while. To replenish the electrolytes and some vitamin B and stuff. So make sure before you go out, you're hydrated. Don't wait till it's too late and you get all stressed out from the heat and you can barely walk in the door, you know. That can cause some serious side effects too.
Yeah.
So just make sure you drink a lot of water. Secondarily, water your plants in the morning. For one, various reasons, the water doesn't evaporate as quickly and you don't lose as much water. Run your sprinkler system early in the morning. I see a lot of them going in the afternoon and you see the mist coming up.
Makes a nice rainbow.
Yeah, and you're losing a certain, and you're contributing to the discomfort in your neighbor's yards too by
increasing
injecting more
yeah.
water into the air. So yeah. Irrigate in the morning. So much better for your plants. So much better for your water bill. And it has a chance to really soak into the ground before it evaporates out into the atmosphere. So water in the morning, that's one thing you can do. Mulch. If you haven't mulched your beds, mulch them real well. I've done some experimenting in my laboratory at home, unmulched and mulched, and it the weed control and the water retention capability is so much better in a bed that has at least 3 inches of mulch in it than there is one that does not. So a heavy mulch is very important to help conserve water, and keeping the water level fairly constant is good for your plants also, and a mulch does a good job of that.
Okay, kind of helps level out both the heavy rainfall and the times so we don't get much by retaining moisture in the ground.
Oh, sure. And when you do water, don't just trickle in a little bit. Set the hose down and let it run for quite some time. And then go back and do it again if it's dried out. And then when you think you're done, go back and do it again. We had some trees at the nursery that got a little too dry, and I told the guy, this is yesterday morning, and I said, water them, go back, water them again, and repeat that 5 times. So the water will get down into the plants real good. So that's kind of important there too.
Okay. It is still 17 after, plenty of time for callers this morning, as we still have about easily 45 minutes left to go in the program. 82 degrees on your Saturday morning. And other than that, what should we do? We talked a little bit about what we should be doing. Anything new at the nursery? Got some new things coming in for fall?
Just some of the perennials, the coneflowers. We got all kinds of color of coneflowers. And they're, if you go along the, you know, the county roads and, you know, the roads around town, you'll see coneflowers growing on the side of the road without any care at all.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some at the nursery that have different colors, and they carry that trait along with them. So that might be one if you want some perennials in the garden somewhere. Pick out some coneflowers. They're resistant to a lot of things that bother plants. You know, these don't really get much any disease problems or insect problems. They're just very easy to grow, do very well in the heat. Lantanas also, and the butterflies just love the coneflowers.
Sure.
And the lantanas too. They're an extremely heat tolerant plant. So, and the periwinkles also have some at my house in the front, and they're really thriving nicely. Just on a drip system, doing very well.
Okay.
So heat tolerant plants are really kind of making a show right now. Of course, this heat is normal for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
There's nothing unusual about this. So most people I know how to deal with it. Run inside and get in the AC.
Get the work done early in the morning, go back inside.
I try to stay out of the air conditioning during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've commented that this hour that you spend on the radio, one of the few hours that you do spend in an air-conditioned environment.
Exactly. And it's a welcome sight coming into this 68-degree temperature here. Kind of nice, like opening up a freezer door.
Yeah.
So, and other plants, actually, boxwoods are pretty well resistant to, shrubs in the shrub area. Boxwoods are somewhat resistant to drought, as are the butterfly bush, and the vitex is very... Vitex is very resistant to the heat, and it gets the blue flowers, and mm-hmm. it's kind of a nice plant too. So there are a lot of shrubs that are resistant also.
Okay.
And that kind of brings us into the shrub of the week. And or you want to talk about that after lunch?
No,
after lunch. After the break.
I'd be happy to talk to you, but I don't know you're going to be here after lunch.
No, I won't.
We'll take a break, though, and we will continue with Green Country Gardener in just a bit. To get in on the conversation, because callers always take priority on the program, 800-749-5936. That's 800-749-5936. Green Country Gardener continues in just a moment.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals.
A towable boom cherry picker where you can get up high and do some tree trimming.
Yep, we have two different sizes. Usually keep a 50 and a 34 footer. Just like the big booms, you tow it behind your pickup, you spot it, you can trim your tree, you can paint your house, fix your soffits, whatever works for you. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Summer is in the air, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a variety of summer plants and shrubs that are on sale right now. Butterfly bushes, rose of Sharon, large pots of geranium, tropical hibiscus elephant ears, hydrangeas, and all vining plants at 30% off. Bartlesville's largest selection of healthy plants. Green Thumb has all perennials, petunias, 4-inch herbs, and sweet potato vines for $1 off. And save 50% on all veggies, 4.5-inch geraniums, strawberries, and more. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5.
Hi, this is Jeremy at Patriot GMC, exclusive home of Warranty Forever. This month, we have 17% off select GMC trucks. Get into a loaded leather Sierra for just $43,000. We'll not only give you the best deal on new GMC trucks and SUVs, but you'll be treated with courtesy and respect the moment you walk on the lot and get a warranty for as long as you own your truck. Just go to your favorite review site online and see what others are saying.
Matt from Wichita, Kansas says, friendly dealers, great showroom and vehicles, very accommodating. Really appreciate being called by name.
With over 70 GMCs on the lot, you will not only save up to 17% on new GMC Sierras, but you'll get to see all the different options as well. Best selection, best warranty, and best customer service. That's Patriot GMC, exclusive home of the Warranty Forever. Let us serve you today on Highway 75 in Bartlesville or on the web at gopatriotauto.com. GMC, we are professional grade.
2017 GMC Sierra Crew Cab, 4x4 SLT leather loaded stock, number 17394, MSRP 51845, 17% off your price, 43031.
That's the telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener. And if you heard it on the grapevine, then your grapes probably are getting ripe and ready for grape jelly or something like that.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Shrub of the week is dwarf yaupon holly.
Oh, okay.
This is one I like to use in the landscape for its versatility.
Mm-hmm.
It can tolerate full sun to part shade. It seems to do very well in the drought, and it's easy to keep small and so on. Anyway, by nature, it's a symmetrical and dense, rounded form of the dwarf yaupon holly that requires just very infrequent pruning to maintain its 2 to 4 foot height and spread. So it's just not a big shrub.
Yeah.
There are a lot of houses in town with really low windows, which I don't know why they always get dirty. I don't know why anybody want a real low window, but... That's what happens.
Well, some builder or some designer, when that series of homes were built, all seemed to have that perspective. I don't know, maybe they were, Toulouse-Lautrec, and just, were all short. I don't know.
help. But I guess they wanted to give the cat a good view out the front window.
That could work too.
Anyway, but anyway, this one is very good for that situation. We have planted this one in a part to, you know, to kind of heavyish kind of shade with a little bit, some dappled light, if you will.
Okay.
Out to wide open full sun, and it's been successful in all situations. So it does real well on the west side of the house, or the east, or the north side, mm-hmm. or even the
dreaded west side.
West side, yes. So I have the west side of my house. Some of them are 30 years old, and some of them aren't. But it's kind of hard to tell the difference.
Huh.
I just shear them once a year. Take the electric shears. I do the Kevin Potter approach, and just shave them off the top, and wow. They maintain a really nice compact low form. And even though they're almost as well, they're older than some of my employees.
Okay, that says a lot for the plant.
They still maintain a low shape and a nice rounded low shape. Mm-hmm. So dwarf yaupon is a very good plant for just some evergreen filler, if you will, or preface perhaps to something with some color behind it. Mm-hmm. For instance, the red barberries, for instance, would associate it real well as a backdrop plant to this one. Or using some tall annuals behind it will make a good preface to those too. Boxwoods you'd use in the back behind annuals, mm-hmm. but these you want to use in front of tall annuals. They don't get mites like a lot of boxwoods do.
Okay.
So if you want a kind of a low hedge that you can fairly easily maintain, this one will work very well.
Is it a kind of a medium green?
It is a medium green. It can be a pale green.
Okay.
But I give mine some iron sulfate every year, and it darkens the green color. And they have this rich, glossy leaf color to it. If you fertilize them properly and maintain them real well, they can maintain a real attractive, kind of a glossy, leafy color. Otherwise, they're kind of a dull green. Some fertilizer that's meant for azaleas or evergreen shrubs, a lot of those have some iron supplement in them, and it'll help them deepen the color. But I just run some FESO4 right along the ground, mm-hmm. And water it in, and put some old fertilizer in the ground, and they seem to do very well. The Color Star works real well on them too. But I like them for their, what I mentioned earlier, mite resistance and insect resistance and drought tolerance. The drawback is they're somewhat brittle. Okay. If you step on them, they'll kind of crack and break. But they'll come back on their own pretty good. Another thing is you have some sporadic winter kill. For some odd reason, unexplained, just a piece of it will die out. But they grow and recover quick enough. I had that problem last year, year before last on them. Part of them would die out. And by the end of the summer, they were just filled in again. So you just clip out the part that got frost damaged, and it'll seem to come back real well. I haven't seen any disease problems on them either. Mm-hmm. Occasionally in the spring, there is a little tiny inchworm that can just decimate them. But it's for about a 2-week period in the spring. I don't know what species of insect it is, but it's very small. And and all of a sudden, you don't have any leaves on your dwarf yaupons. Well, they'll put on more after that goes through.
More of a nuisance than a threat to the plant.
Exactly. So that's about the only problem they have. So, and if they get too tall for you, you can whack them down, and they'll come back again. We had a customer, we planted some about 16 years ago in front of his house. Mm-hmm. And about 3 years ago, well, they decided to put new windows in. Of course, the windows were down low, and the people had to get to it. Well, they called us up, and we just cut them down to stubs about 6 inches high. And they came back beautifully.
That's so great.
They're very resilient plants.
They don't have a particular affinity to any other plant. They all get along with, plays well in the playground with other plants.
Yes, they do.
Great.
And I like this plant, number one, for its versatility and ease of growth and its resilience to come back from damage and so on. So it's a good plant to use in the landscape, and you'll see them in almost all of them I do, because they are valuable in that they do what people want, is just be something nice to look at all year round. So,
and you can
dwarf yaupon holly, definitely one to consider.
You can trim it about any time then.
You can trim it about any. I don't like to trim it late in the spring or late in the summer, you know, or into the fall, because mm-hmm. the new growth that comes on after it's pruned is not hardened off.
Oh, okay.
And you get some winter kill on the tips, and it's kind of ugly to look at black stems on it. So, at the end of say August, you want to stop pruning it and let it. Let what's growing out mature so we can harden off for the winter.
Okay.
So it's a pretty good plant. It is actually highly salt tolerant. So if you use salt on your sidewalk, chances are it won't be effective. We were in Kitty Hawk a while ago. Wife and I were going went to my daughter's place over there, and at the time Virginia Beach, and we went on down to Florida, and we stopped there, and I noticed Yaupon holly is growing on the beach, and it's, what is that plant? It's all grown. It's very interesting. It was all kind of grown to the one side towards the land from the wind from the ocean, and with all that salt air and everything, they were just thriving, doing very well. So it's very tolerant of a wide variety of soil conditions too.
Excellent.
So dwarf Yaupon holly, there are several varieties of it. There's the Ilex V Stokes, which is kind of the industry standard. The Stokes variety is kind of the industry standard. If you want just a dwarf Yaupon holly, that's probably the one you're going to get, is Stokes.
Okay.
The Bordeaux is another one. The newly emerging leaves on the Bordeaux, as the name implies, are kind of purplish in color, making it kind of a different color and somewhat attractive. And I like the glossy leaf, the glossy tendency the leaves have to tend on the Stokes variety. Mm-hmm. There's another one called Micron, and millions of tiny little leaves on it. And it stays very small, about the size of a basketball, half a basketball on the ground. And people are really loving this one, because it's a good answer to the Heller's holly, which can be very, very picky. You plant 10 Heller holly, you lose 6. You replace those 6, you lose 3.
picky.
These aren't picky. And the Micron has created a niche in the landscape that is unique, in that it's easy to grow and very little loss with it too, and it tolerates the heat and the drought and the salt and all that other business going on with it. And actually, in the cold we've had in the last few years, the Micron has come through very well.
Great.
So it's the dwarf Yaupon is a good plant to use in the landscape. I like it.
Sounds like something people need to write down and ask about the next time they're out buying plants. 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. We'll take more of your phone calls and continue in just a bit.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Peter's True Value in Dewey says keep busy this summer with beekeeping supplies. Peter's True Value is your beekeeper headquarters. Right now, Peter's has in-hive feeders, honey super boxes, complete beekeeper suits, feed, smokers, plus complete backyard beekeeper kits. That includes everything you need but the bees. Head to Peter's True Value in Dewey for all your beekeeping supplies and more. That's Peter's True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value.
Eight 800-749-5936. Again, 800-749-5936. The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener. Got some open phone lines right now if you'd like to get in on the conversation and ask your questions of Larry Glass. And I'll bet the sprinkler systems are going full blast this weekend.
Yeah, they are. And I wouldn't water any more right now than you would normally. Just because what we mentioned earlier about the rotting of the roots and especially your lawn, getting it dependent on constant watering like that.
And that's something you try to talk about fairly regularly, that we should imitate nature when we use a sprinkler.
Right. It doesn't hurt the grass to dry it a little bit between waterings. Just don't let it get bone dry.
Yeah.
It's difficult for the water to get back into the soil and get deep down where it needs to be. So an inch of rain a week is typically what our plants need. Yeah, I know that's not always possible because you only get, 35 inches a year or something.
Something like that, yeah.
So we do need to supplement a little bit. We only get 35 mainly because it's kind of dry in the winter and most everything's conked out anyway. But we do need to get an inch a week. And typically on a rotary type head, the kinds that shoot a real long distance, those are called rotary heads.
Okay.
It takes about an hour a week for that to get that. So three stages of 20 minutes or two of 30 or something to get the required inch of water down there. Pretty good.
And when people test out or set up their sprinkler system, you talk about setting some containers out as far as so that you can measure how long time-wise it takes to get that inch of water.
Yeah, like a 5-gallon bucket or something. Put it in the middle of the yard. You're going to have some variability between areas because as good as they are, you can't get perfect uniform coverage from the sprinkler system. It just doesn't happen that way. They've not come
not
up
even
with
when you set them up.
No, it's not a perfect thing. And also the height, the trajectory of the spray in relation to the height of the collection vessel can vary quite a bit too. In other words, if you put it real close to it, they're at an angle that'll hit the side of the thing before it gets into it. So it's difficult to get a good gauge of how deep it is. So I'd say put it right in the middle of the yard of, say, a 5-gallon bucket or something, and run it until you get a good half inch in it. And then measure how much time that is. And then double it for the total amount in the week. Or you can wait while it goes up an inch. I don't know how much time you have to do it. But and take three readings on, and take the average of those three readings, and that'll give you basically how much time it takes to give a given inch rain in your yard, of water in your yard from your sprinkler system. So set out 3 5-gallon buckets, turn it on for 30 minutes, and watch your meter go round and round and wait till the bill comes in. But and just see how much water you get in that 30 minutes. And then you can say, okay, it takes 30 minutes, I can get a half inch of water on this on the average of the three. So you need 60 minutes per week. You divide that into 2 applications of 30 minutes apiece, then you'll get your required 1 inch of water.
Okay.
So you don't need to run it 30 minutes every day. And there's some of them that just go off every single day, just like clockwork. And I guess they don't ever see their water bill or something. I don't know what the deal is.
Could be.
But another way to calibrate the amount of water you need is to just observe. Look at the soil, take a screwdriver and dig around the soil a little bit and see how much moisture is in there. And it doesn't hurt. It does not hurt one bit for the surface of the soil to get dry to the touch, as long as you have water deep down. And when you have dryness in the soil, about a quarter inch deep, and moisture down below, it's time to water.
Okay.
So then run it again until the moisture level is pretty constant all the way through. And that'll be another way to calibrate how to do it. So a lot of my customers actually only irrigate manually as needed. Yeah, there's no startup times programmed into it. You just hit the start button when things are looking a little dry, and you can water it in. The new timers have all kinds of ways you can regulate how much water it gets. There's water. You can change the percentage, the amount of water it distributes on a percentage basis.
Okay.
For instance, this time of year, you might be running 150%, whereas when it's cooler, you can go at 60% or whatever, in any increment, really, up or down, depending on the demands of the area. And that's another way to save water, is to tailor it to the existing conditions.
Sure.
Moisture sensors are out there. but I still consider them kind of quirky and somewhat demanding as far as operating them is concerned and knowing how to operate them, operate them is concerned, and also their lifespan. So moisture sensors are okay, but they need some work on them, really. They need something that you can just plug into the electric valve and gauge the amount of water in an area and shut it off when it gets when the moisture gets adequate. And then again, reliability can be an issue on them too. So
for the automatic user, though, you do recommend rain sensors so that you're not out there sprinkling the lawn while it's raining.
Rain sensors are they're good to have too. But really, I think the best way is to just step out and look at your grass and hit the start button when it needs it, and that's probably the most efficient way, really. They've got, it's interesting, they have timers that actually log into your Wi-Fi at the house, or you can hardwire them too, depending on how you're set up. And it contacts the National Weather Service, and they get telemetry from that. It, based on predictions, for instance, we have a 50% chance of rain Sunday night. Well, it'll get that signal from the Weather Service, and it'll say, okay, there's a good chance of rain, 50% chance of rain, let's not water. And you can program it to do that too. Let's just not water when the percentage gets.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting how that works.
Yeah.
Until the power goes out. but anyway, so they've come up with all kinds of gadgets and gizmos that help out. But I think just common sense looking out the back door is probably one of the better ones.
Sounds like a good idea. We have a caller on the line. We'll say good morning. You are next up on Green Country Gardener on the air. What can we do for you this morning?
Okay, y'all are talking about watering grass. What kind of grass are you watering?
It varies depending on what kind of grass you have. Bermuda grass is watered less frequently. It can take drought really well. That's probably why it's the primary grass people use for their lawns here. Zoysia grass.
My fescue is looking sort of sad.
Yeah, fescue grass likes more water. It's of the three species or four species that are generally grown around here, fescue is the most water hungry one there is.
Yes, well, I water it every other day quite well. Am I gonna give it a fungus or?
Yeah, you might be watering too much. You might broaden that frequency a little bit, maybe go every 3 days or something, and perhaps
in 3 days.
Yeah, and probably water just a little bit more. You have to let the surface of the soil to dry out, so you don't get phytophthora fungus on your fescue.
Well, it's under shade trees, and it generally looks beautiful, but right now it looks like it's begging for water.
Yeah. Well, check the moisture levels in the soil before you water, and that'll tell you if or not it really needs it. And if it's starting to look kind of bad and kind of worn out, and your moisture levels are really good, look closely at the grass stems themselves and see if there's any rotting or any striping or spots on the grass stems themselves. And that's a typical sign of phytophthora.
Okay. Well, do the trees that's above them grab the water also?
Yeah, there's going to be some competition in there, so then you have to compensate accordingly.
Okay, well, my fescue, every year it looks beautiful, but this year when I go to water, I don't try to water every day, but I'm watering like 2 hours every other day.
Whoa, That's,
whoa.
Yeah, that's
don't do that.
Is it, what kind of a sprinkler are you using?
Just that. My yard is, my front yard where the fescue is small. I'm just using a Whirly Bird sprinkler.
Yeah, go ahead and next time you water, right about halfway through it between it and the edge of the yard, put some kind of a shallow vessel in there, like a small shallow bucket or something, and just see how much water you're giving it in that 2 hour period.
Okay, well, I have a 12-inch flower pot saucer under.
Yeah.
Over there, it's sitting in a turtle, like a bird bath and a turtle, and it generally fills it up.
Okay, that's probably an inch and a half or so.
Okay.
So if it fills it up and spills over, then you might, you're probably doing okay. But you might want to, and you know, that's how much water typically it needs in a week. And if you're giving it to that, you know, 3-4 times a week, that's quite a bit of water.
So don't do, well, I'm going to try to just watch it, but I'm afraid because of the heat. The heat seems to be worse on it than the sun.
Yeah. Well, actually, fescue grass can take the heat quite well. It's just you know, the percolation rate in your soil and the frequency in which it's watered plays a factor in the development of stem rot fungus.
Well, what I've done, I've probably already, it just, down in the grass, there's a lot of, I'm seeing some brown next to the, that could be from overwatering it, it could be from not watering.
Yeah. Yeah, typically when it doesn't have enough water, the tips of the grass will kind of wither first before it really goes bad. But if it's from a fungal problem, it'll just start at the bottom and work its way up.
Okay, well, okay, I just, the birds and the grass like the water.
Yeah, so. Why not? It sounds like fun.
Yes. Okay, well, I'll try to pay attention to what I'm doing. I might bring some out and have you look at it.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Sam.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call this morning, 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener. And we will continue with your phone calls coming up in just a bit.
The air and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a variety of summer plants and shrubs that are on sale right now. Butterfly bushes, rose of Sharon, large pots of geranium, tropical hibiscus elephant ears, hydrangeas, and all vining plants at 30% off. Bartlesville's largest selection of healthy plants. Green Thumb has all perennials, petunias, 4-inch herbs, and sweet potato vines for $1 off. And save 50% on all veggies, 4.5-inch geraniums, strawberries, and more. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5.
Come to Patriot Hyundai and check out one of the hottest SUVs on the market during the summer clearance event, the Santa Fe Sport. Your family will be set in style this summer with features like a panoramic sunroof and blind spot detection and up to 28 miles per gallon. Hyundai offers America's best warranty at 10 years and 100,000 miles, no cost to you. That's Hyundai Assurance. Currently, we have select Santa Fe Sports starting at just under $24,000. That's an affordable, economic SUV for your family road trip. Just see what other customers are saying about us.
Robert from Novata says,
exceptional customer service, no haggling from salesmen or pressure from anyone, very accommodating, definitely made it worth my while to shop local.
Come see us at Patriot Hyundai in Bartlesville and save big on Hyundai SUVs with a warranty for as long as you own the vehicle. Best selection, best warranty, and best customer service. That's Patriot Hyundai, exclusive home of the warranty forever. Highway 75 in Bartlesville or on the web at patriothyundai.com.
2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sport, MSRP $28,240. Your price $23,721. Stock number 17224. Apple rebates.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Again. 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. A couple of events going on in and around the area associated with the stations that carry the program. And, of course, going on this morning for our KGGF listeners or for the Northeast Oklahoma listeners that would like to take advantage of some buyers today. It is the annual auction going on at ICC West in Independence. Doors open at 9 this morning, just about 12 minutes from now. And, again, again, all kinds of buys for you. The most you're going to pay for any item on the auction, again, the bidding stops at 80% of retail price. So many of those items, of course, go for a whole lot less than that. But again, on any item on the auction this morning, the most you're going to pay is 80%. The KGGF auction this morning at ICC West in Independence. Next week, and of course, the KWON auction going on at the Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey. So again, a couple of items for you to keep note of. And we have a caller that I think has been hanging on over the break. Good morning, caller. You're next up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Kevin.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you this morning? We're just thrilled to have you back again this week.
Oh, well.
And we're just, I know your family's had a few health problems, but they're getting better, and we've been keeping them in our prayers, but we want to thank you for being back. But here's the deal, Larry. My crepe myrtles, I have never seen them this good. What happened?
Yeah, they're beautiful. I made a point of driving by there last night, and they're really very nice looking. They're back behind your entry gate. And
I know.
Then I looked at the other entry gates along the road, and for some odd reason, they planted the crepe myrtles in the front. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but you can't see the gate or the fence because of the crepe myrtles. So,
you told me when I built the entry,
yeah,
that put the crepe myrtles behind it because you don't want to block the brickwork and you keep.
Yeah, exactly.
And you kind of came and told me what to put in where, and uh-huh, we kept it kind of low.
Yeah,
with the evergreens and different things like that. But
right,
then behind is the crepe myrtles, and they've grown up now. But the blooms on the crepe myrtles this year are just.
Oh,
is it the heat?
It's spectacular.
Did they like the heat, or was it all the rain? What was it?
It's, number one, the timing of the rain in the spring. When they were coming out of winter dormancy and doing their rapid rate of growth, the rain was just perfect. Thank you, Charlie. You did very well on the rain. Yeah.
must have been a ball game out of town or something.
And then, when the rain quit, the temperature didn't get too hot, and the humidity was relatively low there for a pretty good period of time. When the buds were developing, one of the biggest enemies of crepe myrtles and bud development is mildew, powdery mildew. Well, I'm not seeing a lot of that this year on the crepe myrtles. So they're opening up more, and they're opening up a lot further than they are. And then, as soon as they come out, the heat sets in. Crepe myrtles love the heat. So all these factors played in this year. The amount of rain at the given time, the temperature rise or the moderate temperature rise after all the rain, and then all of a sudden it gets hot. Those all factors played in and made for a really good show of crepe myrtles this year.
Well, what a day. And those dynamites, I think those are the ones that are the darkest red. Is that correct?
Dynamites and red rockets. They're Carl Whitcomb varieties, yes.
Ooh, they look good. They're that dark, dark red.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've done good, Larry.
Yeah, I think that composition, when did we do that? What, 20, not 20 years ago, 12 years ago?
10 years ago, 10, probably. 10,
I don't know, it's a long time ago we did that one, and it stayed pretty constant all this time. You haven't had to butcher anything out or anything. It's all stayed compact and small. And
every once in a while I get the chainsaw after those Chinese.
No. Oh, the Heller's.
The Chinese not holly.
Those are Carissa holly, yeah. Now, Carissa, yeah. But unfortunately, though, behind the crepe myrtles, we planted magnolia trees, and they just didn't seem to do very well back there.
Well, they're doing better now.
Yeah, and the whole idea was to get the really, really tall magnolias with their dark green color to backdrop the crepe myrtles.
So,
to backdrop
what
the
do
fence.
I need to do to those magnolias then?
Give them some Epsom salts in the spring and fall when you fertilize.
Epsom salt?
Uh-huh.
That'll make them go.
Yeah,
I'll be glad to do that too.
Yeah, that can be done anytime, but
magnolia, you don't think my magnolias are doing very well?
I think they could be doing a little better. But
the one on the west side is better than the one on the east.
Yes, and there's some variability in your soil type over there too. It's been dug up and churned around so much that you don't know what's underneath there.
Well, I get most of your soil.
Yes, I know. When they built my house, they opened up the front door and swept out the dust and then put grass on it, called it done. It's just solid rock.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks really good down there, Kevin. Your entryway is real pretty, and I just love all the color.
Well, what I was really wanting to know, because you were talking about watering, and so do you think, is there still a lot of subsoil moisture in there?
Yeah. And, yeah, I think those crepes have tapped into it.
They have.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, we appreciate you being back. And I know that a lot of people like to hear this every week.
Yeah.
Kevin, can you tell me some of the things that are people can buy at the KGGF auction this morning?
Okay, I don't want anybody confused, because we have an auction today. It's in Independence, Kansas, and it's for KGGF. But next Saturday is our auction, the one for K1. The K1 auction is next Saturday at the Dewey Fairgrounds. And again, we have a big auction every year. We've done it. Guys, Charlie, this is, what, 21 years now?
Yep.
20-some-odd years, the big auction. But the one here in Independence, this is our second year to have it, and with KGGF. And, yes, we've got mattresses, we've got power washers, we've got lots of dog food. You want dog food, come on out. Lots of gift certificates to a lot of different things, you know, the some restaurants, brands and stuff, different things like that. But again, we're up here at ICC West. It's right on Highway 75 going into town.
Yep.
Going into town, so from the south.
Okay. And again, doors open at 9 this morning. What time does the bidding start?
Bidding starts at 10.
Okay.
Hey, you better skedaddle on up there if you want to bid on that stuff.
But again, we look forward to seeing everybody next Saturday at the Dewey Fairgrounds, Charlie.
Yep. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week.
Big auction next Saturday. Lots of items.
The one in Independence is the one that's going on today, so I want to make sure we
look.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you checking in.
Appreciate both you guys. Well, I'll tell you what, people really like this every week.
All right, Kevin. Thank you for calling.
You bet.
All right, 800-749-5936. That's how Kevin dialed in. You can, too, and we'll take your phone calls in just a bit on Green Country Gardener.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on No Water Road in Bartlesville.
Four Seasons Ag and Lawn invites you to mow like a pro this year with legendary Bobcat mowers. Bobcat, famous for durability, quality of cut, and ease of ownership. Mow with a clean and consistent finish every time with a Bobcat. Four Seasons is where you can find the legendary Bobcat mower.
Hi, I'm John Selmire. Come see us at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles south of Ullagaw on 169 north side of the highway, or John's Tractor Works at Veneta, Oklahoma, 4 miles east of Veneta on 69.
Which of these items would you want to consume on a daily basis? Antifreeze, floor wax, or house paint?
You're kidding, right?
They're toxic. It's something that humans should not be eating or drinking.
The truth is, 62% of medications purchased online are fake, and many contain these harmful ingredients.
So these are just frauds.
Pretty dirty trick to play on somebody. You're taking their money and giving them this.
I want to take medication to stay healthy, not make me a lot sicker.
And what do you think about this item?
That is a big bowl of nothing.
Many rogue sites sell prescriptions with little to no medication at all. The good news is you can find legitimate online pharmacies by looking for .pharmacy in a website's address.
So if I see .pharmacy,
it's legit.
Visit safe.pharmacy to learn how you and your loved ones can be certain the medications you buy online are safe. A public service from the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy.
Eight 800-749-5936, the number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Got a couple of minutes left if you'd like to give us a call and get in on the conversation this morning. And Larry, there's still a lot of things to talk about this morning.
Sure. Besides watering your garden and all that, it's time to be somewhat active in some things in the garden, one of which is your iris plants.
Oh, that's right. It is time to do that.
Yes, I've got a big old bunch in front of my house, just in the driveway, just as you get in, that it used to be really nice and small, but it's just turned into a big glob.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get the time.
Separate those iris
They
out.
Need to be divided.
Yeah.
And I've got other places in the front beds where I could put some iris for some spring color.
Okay.
But this bed over here is just kind of overstepped.
When you move those, you want to set up in kind of a little triangular fan
yes.
arrangement?
And don't bury them too deeply. If you notice in the ground, they're actually the half of the bulb is on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Or not bulb, excuse me. I didn't say that.
Of course you didn't.
No.
Send you back to school.
Rhizome.
Yeah.
Half of the rhizome is above the ground. So what you do is you get the soil good and loose where you want to plant them, and then arrange them in a triangular fashion with the center of the rhizome facing each other and the leaves coming up out of it on the outer part.
Okay.
And bury it about halfway in the ground. Plant it in a little bit of, plant it in a little bit of mud.
Okay.
And they'll do fine. They might not bloom the first year after they're divided, but they will in subsequent years mm-hmm. do rather well. So yeah, check out the iris. It's time to divide those. It's kind of time to do some other things too. One of them is stop cutting back your dogwoods.
Okay.
Now's the time to quit doing that, because they're already starting to set blooms for the next year. So if you haven't trimmed your dogwood, well, you're just too late. You'll just have to put up with this beauty next spring like it is.
That's awful.
So now any damage to it, you don't want to go ahead and cut off and all that.
And then this is the last opportunity to fertilize your, which variety of grass? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that's a call for the office line.
Oh, okay. Or your grass. Yeah. Bermuda grass.
Bermuda. That's what I couldn't remember which variety.
It's not quite. We've got another 30 days will be the last fertilization.
Oh, okay.
It needs to harden off for the winter. So if your grass is looking kind of punk and yellow in color, then you might want to go ahead and give it some fertilizer. Hostas should be doing very well right now. We've had some problem with slugs and drought stress on your hostas and so on, but they're doing okay this year.
Good.
If they have enough water, that's the only issue.
Mm-hmm.
So in the vegetable garden, enjoy those tomatoes because they're not being productive.
They're not going to do much right now in this heat,
no,
are they?
No, not really. And Charlie, keep that shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
All right. That's Green Country Gardener. Before you ride the waves, make sure your boat is properly insured at Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.